الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
گزشتہ جمعے کو
Azur says that in the previous week's Friday sermon, I related a narration from the Hadith that during the Jung-e Ahzab, the Battle of Ahzab, there was a certain day when When the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and his Sahaba, his companions, due to the constant and repeated onslaughts and attacks of the enemies, were forced to combine five of the prayers. Upon this, from our Arabic desk, Naeem Sahib sent an extract of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. That extract negates that narration that was related. After the injunction of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, there is no need for any further discussion whatsoever. He is the Imam of this age. According to some narrations, the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has stated that I myself, through dreams or in a state of vision, have received direct corroboration from the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, of the traditions. So therefore there is no doubt in this, that this narration that I related, which is also mentioned in certain books of hadith, so this is not what happened. The actual incident did not occur in that way. All the books of hadith are not in agreement upon this. And in those hadiths where this narration is mentioned, it does not speak of five prayers, but rather of four prayers. But even upon this issue, there is disagreement. The more reliable account is that only the Asr prayer was combined with the Maghrib prayer, or due to shortage of time, the prayer was quickened. In relation to this, for the sake of knowledge, I shall present certain narrations. Some people have interest in this. In terms of the question of the four prayers being combined, this is a narration of Sunan Tirmidhi. The hadith reads in the following way, that is the translation, that Hadrat Ubaidah bin Abdullah bin Masood narrates that Abdullah bin Masood stated that on the day of the ditch, the idolaters prevented the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, from performing four of the prayers to the degree that Allah desired the night passed by. Then the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed Hadrat Bilal, may Allah be pleased with him, who said the azan, the call to prayer. Then he said the akama, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Zuhr prayer. Then the akama was said once again, and the Holy Prophet led the Asr prayer. Then the akama was said again, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Maghrib prayer. Then the akama was said once more, and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam led the Isha prayer. This hadith is from Sunan Tirmidhi, Kitab al-Salat. As I said, this is from Kitab al-Salat. Behaki has also related this narration, and from Saudi Arabia, there is Maktaba al-Rushd. This is a Maktaba. In 2004, they also published this, and this is where it can also be found. But Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari, and Sunan Abi Dawood, the narration found within them, with reference to Hadrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, relates in the following manner. That Hadrat Ali, may Allah be pleased with him, states that on the day of the ditch, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, said that may Allah fill their houses and their graves with the fire, because they prevented us from performing the Salat Wusta, the middle prayer, so much so that the sun had set. Hazur says, from this it is inferred that this prayer in question was the Asr prayer. In any case, what I wanted to say is the following, that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was so pained due to his prayers being missed and lost that he cursed the enemy. Here the significance of that subject is raised even further, that for one prayer to be lost or missed was unbearable for him. and the Holy Prophet ﷺ utilized harsh and strong words against the enemy. In this regard, Sahih Bukhari mentions another narration that Hadrat Jabir bin Abdullah, may Allah have mercy upon him, has stated that Hadrat Umar bin Khattab, may Allah be pleased with him, on the day of the ditch, after the sun was set, came. He started speaking ill of the Kuffari Quraysh, the disbelievers of the Quraysh, and he said, "O Messenger of Allah, I could not perform the Asr prayers to the extent that the sun began to set." The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, replied, "By God, I also did not perform the prayer." Upon this, we went towards a certain place, and the Holy Prophet ﷺ performed the ablution. We also performed the wudu, the ablution, and after the sun had set, the Holy Prophet ﷺ performed the Asr prayers. Thereafter, he then also offered the Maghrib prayer. Allama Ibn Hajar Asqalani, in the commentary of Bukhari Fath al-Bukhari, states that Ibn Arabi has explained this, saying the following: that the Holy Prophet ﷺ was only prevented from offering one prayer, in other words, the Asr prayer. This prayer was offered either at the end of the time for Maghrib prayer, or it was offered at the last point of the sunset. That is when Asr prayer was offered. This is mentioned in Fath al-Bukhari, Sahih Bukhari. Now the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, has elucidated this issue and shed light upon it in detail. I shall read that out. A Christian priest, Fatah Masih, raised manifold allegations against the Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, and sent an obnoxious letter to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, provided a reply to this in Nur al-Quran, Part 2. There are various replies to allegations within this. There is also this allegation, that the Holy Prophet ﷺ did not offer four of the prayers on one day. The reply that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, gave, then he wrote here, is this. And he says, addressing this Fateh Masih, the following: your satanic instigation, that is Fateh Masih's satanic conjecture, that during the time of the digging of the ditch, four prayers were done qaza, or lost. First of all, your state of your knowledge is such that you have used the word qaza here, O foolish person. Qaza prayer means offering the prayer. To not offer their prayer completely is not defined by the word qaza at all. If somebody's prayer is lost or missed, then that is called fawt. For this reason, we made a challenge of 5,000 rupees that there are such foolish people who raise allegations against Islam who still do not even know the meaning of the word qaza. Hazur says that even here there are many people who are not aware of this. They also presume that qaza means that the prayer has been lost or missed, whereas qaza actually means the prayer was offered, although it was offered late. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, says, that person who does not use the words appropriately in the right place, how can such a foolish person raise allegations against a deep philosophy, that is, the deep subjects, how can they raise allegations and objections against this? The issue that remains is the allegation that at the time of the digging of the ditch, four prayers were combined. The reply to this conjecture is that Allah the Almighty replies that there is no severity in faith. In other words, in the faith there is no hardship or difficulty, that is, such hardship that becomes a means of destroying a person. For this reason, at the time of need and in a state of tribulations and adversity, Allah the Almighty has commanded that the prayers are combined. However, on this occasion in question, there is no reliable hadith which mentions that the four prayers were combined. In fact, in Fath al-Bari, the commentary of Sahih Bukhari, it is written that all that came to pass was the following, that one prayer, in other words, the Salatul Asr, the Asr prayers, it was shortened and offered in constrained time. If you were before us, then we would ask you That is this an authentic and authoritative hadith that four prayers were completely lost, that they were not offered at all? According to the Shara, four prayers can be combined, that is, Zohar and Asr can be combined, and Maghrib and Isha can be combined. Indeed, there is a weak narration that Zohar and Asr and Maghrib and Isha were all combined together. However, other Sahih hadith, they negate this. And only this comes to light, that Asr was offered in constrained time. Hazur says, therefore, after this decision of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and his stamp of authority, this hadith that mentions the four prayers being combined is incorrect. The fact is, it only relates to the Asr prayers. But, as I said, even upon that, the Holy Prophet ﷺ was so aggrieved that he spoke ill of the enemy and said that they caused our prayers to be missed. In any case, a benefit that has emerged from this, that is, by reading that hadith which I read out the previous time, is that where this is mentioned in our literature, that will also be rectified. There is the book of Hazrat Sahib Zada Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, Sirat Khatamun Nabiyin, The Life and Character of the Seal of the Prophets. This issue has been mentioned therein, in the correct manner, in the way that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, explained. So in Life and Character of the Seal of the Prophets, he quotes William Muir mentioning the four prayers being combined. However, Hazrat Sahibzada Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib, he has negated that assertion of William Muir. And in terms of the decision of the promised Messiah on whom be peace, that the hadith, including Bukhari, mentioned the Asr prayer. In accordance with this, Hazrat Mirza Bashir Ahmed Sahib has written and explained this in detail, that only the Asr prayer was offered out of its normal time. However, in another place, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi, the fourth Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him, on 23rd May 1986, in his khutbah, in his Friday sermon, he has spoken of five prayers being combined. Musnad Ahmad bin Hanbal's reference has been cited, and also Bukhari has been mentioned. The sermons published by Tahir Foundation, in that the reference has been given of Bukhari Kitabul Maghazi. Whereas within this, that is in Bukhari in Kitabul Maghazi, this has not been cited as has been mentioned here. Normally myself, I try to look at the original hadith itself. But because I saw this hadith mentioned here, that is in that sermon of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih the Fourth, for this reason I did not check the hadith. And also a reference was cited of that hadith. So for this reason a mistake was made. But anyhow, as I said before, a benefit has emerged out of this error. First of all, where this has been mentioned, anywhere in our literature, this will be rectified. Secondly, I myself have also realized that sometimes, wherever I ascertain references from, I should try to check them further. Thirdly, our various departments and institutions should take care that whenever they are publishing any of the speeches or addresses, that is, even of the previous Khulafa, then the original reference must be sought. If the promised Messiah on whom be peace has given any directives regarding any of those hadith, then they most definitely must be taken into account. It is correct that the words of the Khalifa of the time cannot be altered or rectified by anybody. The Khalifa of the time should be asked himself. If the previous Khulafa have mentioned something and they need to be rectified, or the original reference, or the original hadith, or within any book, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has said anything about that, then in accordance with that, it should be rectified. However, the Khalifa of the time must be asked, and then the rectification must occur. Therefore, the Tahir Foundation also, in the sermon of 23 May 1986, where the example is given of the five prayers being combined, they should have rectified this. In future editions, they should rectify this. How they should rectify this, they will write to me, and I will provide guidance of how this can be rectified. In future as well, this is the guiding principle. Whoever is the Khalifa of the time, if any previous Khalifas have given an incorrect reference, then according to the Khalifa of the time, guidance will be provided. However, without research to publish a reference, whereas there are other narrations present, or those references are from weak narrations, or the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, has given an injunction regarding this, then this would be the incorrect way. Full research should be carried out. But anyhow, I felt this clarification was necessary. As I said, there is a benefit that has been provided to everybody. From a factual and intellectual perspective, this has been rectified. Other intellectual matters have also come to light. Also, guidance has been provided to the departments and institutions. After this, the subject that I would like to turn towards is providing eulogies to the certain holy and saintly people who very recently passed away. The first of these that I shall mention is one who passed away in the previous week, Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II's daughter, Sahibzadi Amdul Nasir Begum Sahiba, who was also my khala, my maternal aunt. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. At the time of her demise, she was 82 years old. And mashallah, until the end, she was active. 3 or 4 days before, she had some heart pain. She was admitted into hospital. Dr. Nuri Sahib treated her. Angioplasty occurred upon her of one vein. And then a few days after, this happened again. She was improving in her health, but it seemed that suddenly she had a heart attack. And this heart attack proved fatal, and she was in hospital at the time. She thus returned to her Lord. She was an extremely jolly, merry, and cheerful person, and she would take care of others from every perspective, providing financial assistance to other people and taking care of the sentiments of others were special characteristics and distinctions of her. The letters of condolences that I am receiving of those who are acquainted with her, almost every single one of them mentions these qualities, that in the manner that she was selfless and took care of others' sentiments and others' feelings so deeply, we never have seen anybody like that. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of this khala, maternal aunt of ours, and give her a position amongst the beloved ones. She was born in April 1929 from Hazrat Sarah Begum Sahiba, who was the third wife of Hazrat Musleh Maud, the second Khalifa, may Allah be pleased with him. When her respected mother passed away, then Sahibzadi Amdul Nasir Begum Sahiba was only 3.5 years old. So the sentiments of her childhood and also the feelings and emotions during that very young age has been depicted by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II in one of his articles. This is such a depiction by reading which a person cannot remain without being engulfed in deep sentiments and emotions. I normally keep great control over my feelings and emotions, but when I was reading this alone, it was very difficult to control my sentiments. In any case, I shall read out a few extracts from this, which are in relation to her great high moral standing of childhood. There are great lessons to be learned from this. As I mentioned, that she was only 3.5 years old when her mother passed away. But even in that age of young childhood, she established an example. In that article written by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II, may Allah be pleased with him, he wrote very comprehensively, and I shall present just a few points from that article. When a person is reading this article and reads the emotional state of that occasion, and then Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II's statement and description, this combined develops a moving situation. But as I mentioned, I shall relate some of these accounts a bit later on, but briefly before this, I will mention a few aspects of her life written by various people who have written to me. Indeed, my mother, she would tell me that Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, after her mother passed away, entrusted our khala to Hazrat Umme Nasir to take care of. And this was mentioned by Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, the second Khalifa himself. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani, may Allah be pleased with him, at that time instructed and advised my mother that take care of her. My mother was approximately 19 years older than her, and it was a mother and child relationship. When my mother was married, and this khala of ours was 7 or 8 years old, at the most 9 years of age. So when my mother was about to leave as a bride after the marriage, my khala started insisting that I cannot live without Baji Jan, I want to go along with her. So then Hazrat Musleh Maud explained to her and she understood. So she did remain quiet. She demonstrated that same patience and forbearance that she showed from childhood. This was demonstrated by her. After this, she began to lead a sad and lonely life. After that, she remained with Hazrat Amma Jan, Ummul Mumineen, the mother of the believers. Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, the houses that he made for his children in Rabwa were such that the houses of my khala and mother were joined together, the walls were shared at that point. Before the blueprints of the houses were changed and further construction did not occur, there was a door that allowed people to go between the houses, so we would go to each other's houses in this way. And in this way, there was great informality. I always saw my khala as merry and jolly and meeting others with great cheerfulness. She would warmly welcome everybody in the house, whether old or young. Hospitality was found greatly in her, whether it was a person rich or poor, of high status or of low position. She would extend hospitality to them. Her husband, who is our khalu, Pir Muinuddin Sahib, who is the son of Pir Akbar Ali Sahib. The majority of their family was non-Ahmadi. Khala also maintained great relations with them. One of the nieces of Mukarram Pir Muinuddin Sahib has written the following, that our father's side are mainly non-Ahmadis, but even with them, our Chachi would have great relations with them and develop great affection and love and respect them. Everybody would respect her because of this and mention her with great affection. Hazur says, this relationship of love and affection, may Allah make it so that this becomes a means of drawing them near, and also may Allah accept her prayers, and may they be granted the ability to recognize and accept the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. With nephews and nieces, she would have a relationship of great informality and love and affection. They would share confidential matters with her. Due to this informality, they would also listen to her advice and counsel and not mind what she said. Even when she scolded, she would scold with cheerfulness and also with love. If she counseled anybody, it was always by giving accounts of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hazrat Amma Jan, the mother of the believers, and also Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him. So, referring to their incidents and accounts, would she advise and counsel people. One of her nieces informed me that on one occasion, there were two cousins present there. Inadvertently, they made a mistake. Within that mistake, there was an aspect of humor. They were extremely anxious that they should share that with somebody, and they wanted to share that with an elder. But in whichever direction they looked, they felt that they would be scolded if they related that to somebody. Finally, they came to her, that is, both of these cousins, and she listened to what they had to say very patiently, and she also laughed. But also, she lovingly scolded them and informed them that on such occasions, this is what the Islamic teaching is. At every opportunity, she imparted Islamic teachings, the traditions of Ahmadiyyat, and she never let any opportunity to go to waste. Whenever she had the opportunity, she took avail of it and used it as an opportunity to explain. So everything she said revolved around these points. Alongside this, she would explained to the girls of the Khandan of the Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that you have a dignity and honor that should remain within you. When I went to her home before, then she would extend entertainment and hospitality always just as would be imparted to elders. And after Khilafat, her love, her affection and relationship increased greatly. It involved respect and reverence. She would regularly write to me for prayers and also send me messages and different letters. This expression with Khilafat was extraordinary. She came here twice to UK for Jalsa. She extended great respect, honor and reverence for Khilafat. The level that should be expected of the highest level of respect and reverence for Khilafat in Inna Ahmadi, it was found even more in her. To the degree that sometimes the way she treated me would lead me to be embarrassed. Whenever she came, she would always say that I desire to come every year, but because of my age, I have to think again. At times, she would make a plan to come, but then that plan could not materialize. As I stated, she lived for a long time with Hazrat Ammajan, the mother of the believers. After my mother was married, then for the most part, she remained with Hazrat Ammajan. She remembered many narrations and also accounts of Hazrat Ammajan. When she came to Jalsahe 1 year, then Lajna UK also recorded an interview with her. Sadr Sahib by Lajna UK arranged for that interview. If those accounts of Hazrat Ammajan that she related have not been published yet, then Lajna should publish that. Once, Hazrat Khalif Tom Sisani, the second Khalifa, assigned a duty upon two of his wives that they should go at night, turn by turn, and take care of Hazrat Ammajan. This was at the stage when Hazrat Ammajan was quite seriously ill. So Hazrat Ammajan replied that this child is sufficient for me. I have become used to her. You do not need to send anyone else to me. Hazrat Ammajan also greatly loved and showed affection towards her. When Sahibzadi Abdul Nasir Begum Sahiba was married, then Hazrat Ammajan became extremely sad. When Sahibzadi Abdul Nasir Begum Sahiba returned after a few days to meet Hazrat Ammajan, and Hazrat Khaitum Sisani took her by the arm to Hazrat Ammajan and said, "Look, your daughter has come to meet you." So it was a relationship of great love with Hazrat Ammajan. I was speaking about her relationship with Khilafat in terms of a love and a loyalty with Khilafat. I should also mention that she was so enhanced in this love and loyalty for Khilafat that she did not even care or let get in the way any of her close relations. For this reason, she had to face many anxieties and worries, but always for the sake of Khilafat. She stood like a shield. One boy who was brought up in her house, who in fact now is a grown man of elder age, he wrote to me the following: that the demise of Hazrat Bibi Jan has caused us a great sadness, because we have lost a very pious, prayer inclined and holy and saintly person. He writes further that BBG was extremely prayer inclined, pious, and one who took care of poor people and people in need. She was a woman of God. She would always advise us to remain firmly attached to Khilafat. She would search for the opportunity to fulfill the instruction of the Khalifa of the time. Then he also worked for Lajna in a vicinity. So he writes that often for the magazine Misbah to collect the Chanda collection, she would send me to the different members to collect that subscription money. If anybody was late in offering the subscription or did not give the Chanda, then she would give that amount herself. And she would always remain anxious that the Chanda should not be late, it should be collected. Then he writes that at times I would go to the market for grocery shopping. Sometimes the money was insufficient that I would pay for the grocery myself. She said that, "Take this amount promptly. I do not want to remain indebted to anybody." In the same way, the writer writes that in any 1 month, many wedding invitations were received. She would say to me, this person's name is Mumtaz, that make a list of all these wedding invitations and remind me. And she would say that on this day, a previous servant or an old servant of the family of the promised Messiah or of a holy person, she would definitely go to one of their weddings. Or she would say that there is a wedding of this poor person, I most certainly will go to it. Sometimes she would say 3 times in the day that I have to go for this wedding of this poor person, so remain ready for that. Similarly, there are other counsels and advice that she imparted. Her son-in-law, Sayyid Qasim Ahmed, has written about her that in her love and obedience for the Khilafat, she caused extraordinary effect and impact in the area where she lived, as Sadr Lajna. There was no need for any proof of this. This was a natural sentiment. On the day of her demise, in the morning, she would say repeatedly that write a letter on my behalf for prayers to Huzur. It comes to light that she had an indication of her demise, because she said to one of her granddaughters regarding one of her deceased sister-in-laws that she has come to visit. She called her daughters over, showed them love and said, forgive me. There were countless qualities found in her as a mother, as a mother-in-law, and as a wife. Her example in this regard were of the highest standards. She was also very careful to take care of the sentiments in accordance with the mood of her husband and never gave any opportunity for complaint. I give the examples of these old saints and holy people to give a lesson to a new couple. Such families, such husbands and wives, where problems arise, they should ponder. In particular, girls and ladies should reflect upon this. They should take great heed that first of all, their responsibility is to take care of their homes. So this person writes that she displayed perfect obedience towards her husband, and she would always also counsel her daughters regarding their husbands, that take care of your husbands. You would never see her arguing with her husband if she counseled and advised, and she would always counsel with regard to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, Hazrat Amma Jana Hadr Muslim out. If she ever was angry, it was for an extremely brief time, and then she returned to that kind and generous and gentle way. She would always counsel the girls of the Khandan, the family of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, that nobody should ever stumble due to their deeds or actions. May Allah make it so that these prayers of hers and these counsels of hers come to use to her daughters and also the other girls of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him's Khandan or family. Then he writes that she was also extremely compassionate and kind to her servants. Those girls who worked in a household and were brought up there and they grew up there, she started preparing their dowry from a young age. Sometimes she bore the expenditure of their marriages. There were times when the female workers in her household and the daughters were extremely rude. Some advisor that removed them immediately, but she would say, I have yet to arrange for the marriages. And after their marriages, she would share in their griefs and sorrows. The following is a very useful counsel for maintaining relations nowadays in terms of the problems that arise. That if you want to advise the daughter-in-law, then the son should advise her. And if you want to advise the son-in-law, then the daughter should advise him. At the time of extending a favor to another, she would do it in a way that the other person would not feel that he or she is being favored. In her worship and also in her financial dues, she was extraordinarily regular and she would make great efforts to this effect. Even if she had to face difficulties in the way, she would do so, that let it never happen that she did not fulfill her dues. In 1944, when Hazrat Muslim Maud made an appeal to devote properties, then she gave all of her jewelry towards this appeal. At the age of 13, she served as Muntazama Darul Masih in Qadian. She also served as Secretary Dasirat of Qadian. After migration in Ratanbagh and also in Rabwah, she served in different capacities. at different occasions and at different times she had the opportunity to serve, but it never ever happened that she had the desire to hold an office. Even whilst holding an office, when she was asked to carry out a trivial task, she was always immediately prepared to do so. In terms of her knowledge, in terms of administration, in terms of religious education, she was extremely capable and competent. She would say the following, which she also mentioned in an interview, that in Ratanbagh, Lahore, she would go for visits with Rumani Jan, Hadhrat Sadia Begum Sahiba, wife of Hadhrat Mir Ishaq Sahib, at night. And those who did not have quilts or blankets, she would provide quilts and blankets to. In 1949, there is a historical account of hers. With Hadhrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, and Hadhrat Amma Jan, may Allah be pleased with her, she travelled in the same car to Rabwah with them, and she would say that this is the most memorable incident of my life. In the foundation stone laying ceremony of Masjid Mubarak, she was one of the ladies of the family of the Promised Messiah who prayed upon one of the bricks. In the mud houses of Rabwah, when Rabwah was first populated, the houses were mud houses. She also had the opportunity to serve the Lajna there. She was made Sadr Lajna Halka Darush Shamali for quite a long period of time. She had the opportunity to serve in this capacity. From 1973 to 1982, she remained Naib Sadr Lajna Rabwah when my mother was Sadr Lajna Rabwah. So she had the opportunity to work with her. Then after 1982, for 1 or 2 years, she was Khidmat-e Khalq Secretary Lajna. She was also Secretary Ziafat Lajna. In the same vein, she served in different capacities apart from serving in her local area. At every instant, at every occasion, whatever responsibility or office was assigned to her, she would carry out with great humility and humbleness. One of her daughters wrote to me that during the illness of my mother, if anybody came to meet her, and for some reason the meeting was unable to take place and that person would have to return, so upon this she would be extremely sad. And she would always say that anybody who comes to meet me, do not prevent them from meeting me. Never halt them from meeting me. The entrance of Hadhrat Musleh Maud's house was always open for all. Anybody could come to meet him. Then how could I decline to meet people? Then one of her daughters writes that mother greatly loved all of her brothers and sisters. She could not bear that anybody even said jokingly, or that anybody would raise the question, that is that person your real brother or sister, or your stepbrother and sister? Hadhrat Musleh Maud had various wives and they all had their own progenies. But the issue of stepbrother or sister never came to the fore. And if anybody even asked, then she would immediately say that do not speak about stepbrother or stepsister, because Abba Jan, father, in other words, Hadhrat Khatib Sisani, was greatly displeased by this. Then one of our non-Ahmadi uncles said that Babi or sister-in-law always lived in a dignified manner. Then mentioning our mother, she says the following, that mother had great love for Khala, and she would often say that Khala brought me up. Once Abba Jan or father had entrusted me to Baji Jan, Baji Jan always fulfilled that obligation. The younger brothers and sisters used to call our mother Baji Jan. Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih Sani, the second Khalifa, once mentioned one of his dreams, which was a very long dream. In it, Hadhrat Sayyida Saira Begum Sahiba comes. And apart from mentioning other things, she said to Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih II that you have become upset with me. So Hadhrat Khalifatul Masih Sani says that within the dream I replied to her that you have given me chiro. Azur says that in the household, Sahibzadi Amtul Nasir Sahiba was called chiro out of affection. So he said that you have given me a daughter like chiro. How can I be upset with you? She would take great care of the following, that she was a daughter of Hadhrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, and that due to her, any flaw or shortcoming be attributed to the Promised Messiah on whom be peace. One incident that she related at many gatherings, she said that once she was going to her brother's house, which was right across the road, That is, her house was there, and just across the road was the house of her brother. And she felt that that is my brother's house right there. So she put the lower part of a burqa above her head rather than putting the full niqab upon herself. She put the coat of the burqa upon her head and she started walking forth. When she left the house and she reached the middle of the road, she saw that Hadrat Musleh Ahmad, may Allah be pleased with him, was also coming from the other side. This is a story of the old times. He was coming from Qasr-e Khilafat, that is Hadrat Khalifatul Masih Sani. So she said, there was no other route for me to take. So then she returned home. She said that I felt that perhaps Hazur had not seen me. The next day, when at the time of breakfast I went to meet Hazur, then Hadrat Khalifatul Masih Sani said, look, if you take one step forward, then people will take 10 steps forward. So thus, Hadrat Musleh Maud inculcated and gave training of the respect and sanctity of Parda in this way. May Allah enable that her daughters and the other girls of the family of the Promised Messiah and the other girls of the Jamaat, they always understand the importance of Parda. The article of Hadrat Musleh Maud which I mentioned, in that he writes that Amtul Nasir, who is a child of 3.5 years old and who is always close to her mother. Because of this, she was extremely attached to her parents. She became very silent after her brother explained to her, as if somebody had become astonished. She was unaware of death. She only understood what death was after hearing from other people. I am not aware of what her brother explained to her, that she did not cry or scream or weep. She wandered around silently. When Sara Begum's body was placed on the cloth, and the ladies gathered around her body and started crying. So she said, that is, Sahibzadi Amtul Nasir started saying, that my mother is asleep. Why are these people crying? When my mother will awaken, I will say to them that you were asleep and ladies were around your bed weeping. Then Hadrat Musleh Maud says, at the time of the passing away of Sahibzadi Amtul Nasir Begum's mother, he was on a journey at the time and she was buried while he was away. So Hadrat Musleh Maud says that when I returned from my journey and I expressed love to Amtul Nasir, then her eyes were numb but she did not weep. I hugged her and showed her affection, but still she did not weep, to the extent that I was convinced that she did not understand what death actually was. But no, this was a mistake on my part. This child was giving me a new lesson. Sarah Begum passed away in a new house of Darul Anwar. When we returned to our own house in Darul Masih, then it came to light that she did not have any shoes on her feet. So somebody was said to go fetch her some shoes. He came to show her the shoes. So I said to Amtul Nasir, choose the shoes that you like. Whichever shoes that you desire, take them. She took two steps forward, but then suddenly she stopped. And astonishingly, she looked towards me. And then she looked towards her elder mother, in other words, Umm Nasir. This meant that take whatever shoe that I like, but my mother has passed away. Who would get me the shoes? Hazrat Musleh Maud, may Allah be pleased with him, writes that at that time, in that state, being overcome with emotions, I was absolutely sure that if I said anything or if I remained there, then I would be filled with tears. So for this reason, I immediately turned my face and I said whilst leaving that take your shoes to Ummi Jan. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani said, all the children in their homes call their mothers Ummi. And my elder wife, Ummi Nasir, the first wife, is called Ummi Jan. So whilst leaving, I turned to look, and I saw that Amtul Nasir had her emotions in check. And with great forbearance, she took the shoes and went towards Ummi Jan. Later circumstances verified that in spite of such a young age, she understood that her mother had come to her demise. Then Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Sani, the second Khalifa, praying for her, writes that may Allah the Exalted keep this tiny flower safe. May He satiate this tiny heart with the water of His mercy and grace, where good thoughts and good views and good emotions are nurtured, bearing fruits into an excellent life and be a source of blessings for the world. O merciful God, who knows the state of the hearts and knows how patiently this small girl is suppressing her emotions, She may or may not have knowledge of your attributes, but she is implementing your commandments with greater courage than even us. O Allah, I plead you to keep her heart safe from the adverse effects of mishaps in the way that she has displayed on the surface in terms of her steadfastness. Grant her inner steadfastness, just as she has openly been steadfast. Just as she demonstrated tremendous strength, grant her real strength. My Lord, your judgment, she has been deprived of her mother's love at this time when she was learning to love. O fountainhead of love, take her in the lap of your love and implant your love as a seed in her heart. Indeed, devote her for yourself, choose her for your service. May she only seek your love and be a beggar of your threshold. May she be weeping at your divine threshold. Grant her blessing of the world as well, so she is not disgraced and humiliated in the sight of people. In spite of every kind of respect, may her connection with the world be like a person rushing from one room to another at a time of raining. Hazur says, with the grace of Almighty Allah, the entire life of Sahibzadi Abdul Nasir Begum Sahiba, this was witnessed, that this prayer of Hadhrat Muslimos was fulfilled most gloriously. May her children and also the people of all the family of the promised Messiah alayhi salam testify to this, and in fact all the peoples of the members of the Jamaat be the recipients and testify to this prayer. Then Hadhrat Musleh Hamad, may Allah be pleased with him, also prayed for all his children. And I feel that it is necessary to relate this. May Allah the Almighty enable the entire Jamaat to testify to this, because nowadays it is the time when inshallah we are going to enter a new time of triumph and successes. If this remains our state, then only we can be successful. It is the prayer of Hadhrat Musleh Hamad that, O my Lord, I entrust my other children as well to you. May they not be dogs of the world. May they be birds of your paradise, pillars of religion, and defenders of the house of God, the Baytullah, stars in the sky that guide those lost in gloom. A brilliant sun that tears apart darkness and opens a way for hard work and progress. You awaken those who slumber and unite those who are apart. May they be trees of love, the fruits of which are completely devoid of bitterness, malice, and also jealousy. May this be a water well by the wayside, covered by shady trees, where every tired traveler, every acquaintance, and every stranger stops for rest, and where the cold water quenches the thirst of every thirsty person, and the vast shades of which takes every helpless person in its refuge. May they stop the oppressors from oppression. May they be the friends of the persecuted. May they accept death for themselves to give life to the world. May they endure difficulty but give comfort to others. May they have great courage and noble morals and also high moral standing. May their food table be open for all. May they vie with one another in the doing of good works. May they neither be niggardly nor wasteful, or that they are so open that it causes humiliation and disgrace. O my guide, may they be preachers of religion, propagators of Islam, and those who revive morals and relight the faded paths of taqwa. May they be champions of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, verifiers of lamma yalhaqu bihim, who will uphold the practices of the people of Persia. May they have a sense of honor for you, be ready to fight for your religion. May they be devotees of your prophets, true sons of the Holy Prophet, the chief of all prophets, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, true and ardent devotees, the fervor whose love never extinguishes. O my master, may they be your slaves and only your slaves indeed. May they not bow to the worldly kings, but may they be most humble in your presence. May they leave behind pure progeny and guide the world on the path of spiritual knowledge and sow the seed of everlasting piety. May they take righteousness further and reform the evil. May they be adverse to indolence and be living models of spiritual life. O my living, self-subsisting and all-sustaining God, may they, their children, and the children of their children be your trust in the world, which Satan cannot breach. May they be your property that nobody can steal. May they be the cornerstone of your building, of your religion, which nobody can reject. May they be the sword among your drawn swords that uproots every single evil. May there be a hand of your pardon that is extended to forgive sinners. May there be a branch of olive that gives the glad tiding of the end of a storm. Indeed, O living, self-subsisting and all-sustaining God, may there be your instrument which is sound to gather people. In short, may they be yours and you theirs, so much so that each one of them cries out at this oneness, that I have become you and you me, I am the body, you the soul, so that no one can say hereafter that you are someone and I am someone else. Ameen, summa ameen. O Lord of all the world. So this is that prayer. May Allah enable this prayer to be fulfilled upon every single member of this Jamaat. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank continuously of the deceased, and may Allah enable her children to carry out her counsels and advice. The second eulogy is an elder and holy person of the Jamaat, Mukarram Abdul Wahab Ahmed Sahib, Shahid Murabbi Silsila, a missionary, son of the late Mukarram Abdul Rahman Sahib. Abdul Wahab Ahmed Shahid Sahib passed away on 11 September 2011 after being extremely ill for 1.5 months. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Abdul Wahab Ahmed Shahid Sahib, Murabbi Silsila, missionary, on 5th September 1943 was born in the vicinity of Kotli, Azad Kashmir. There he also received his education. In 1967, he graduated with a Shahid degree from Jamia Ahmadiyya. He served in 10 different locations in Pakistan. Thereafter, from 1991 to 1999, he worked in Azharat Dawatullah, calling people to Allah, and he worked in different vicinities. He also supervised some important works under this department. He also worked outside the country from 1976 to 1979. He worked in Tanzania. A second time, he was unable to serve in Tanzania. Until July 1986, and he worked as the Emir and the missionary in charge. From 1999 to December 2006, he worked as a missionary of Darul Ziyafat Rabwa. After that, until now, he was working in Daftar Islah Rashad in the center, in the Markaz. He was an extremely happy, cheerful, and jolly person. He had incredible love, affection, and devotion with Khilafat. He was very hospitable and extremely compassionate to poor people. People liked his personality and was a very popular person. He was extremely knowledgeable. He would write articles in Al-Fazl and also other magazines. He was the author of 4 books. The elder person in his family was an extremely saintly person of Delhi who spread Islam in India. Hazrat Maulana Mahboob Alam Sahib was from his progeny. So he migrated from Delhi to Gujarat, to Chakmiana. From there, he went for various religious obligations to Kashmir. He was in Gohi when he learned about Hazrat Imam Mahdi's advent. He would say that this is a time of the coming of a reformer or guide. Imam Mahdi should come. He was in these thoughts and waiting where he saw in a dream that the Messiah and the Mahdi have come. So then he started researching and left for this purpose. He met his teacher, Hazrat Maulana Burhanuddin Sahib Jelmi. He mentioned his dream to this teacher. He said that we have already accepted Ahmadiyyat. According to the signs and revelations, you can also investigate. In those days, the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was in Lahore. He reached Lahore and had the honor of performing the bait at his hand, the Pledge of Allegiance. After the bait, when he was returning, he faced great opposition. But many sincere and righteous persons accepted the promised Messiah, on whom be peace through him. The third eulogy that will be mentioned is Abdul Qadir Fayaz Sahib Chandiyam, who is also a Murabbi Silsala missionary. Abdul Qadir Fayaz Sahib was the son of Master Ghulam Muhammad Sahib Chandiyam. He passed away on 8 September. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Surely to Allah we belong and to Him we shall return. He was going to drop his children to school where he had a heart attack. He was taken to hospital, but Allah's decree reigned supreme and he passed away. On 1st May 1974, he graduated a Shahid degree and he also came into the field. under Islamabad Shahid Mulkami, Pakistan, and also worked for Jadid. He worked in 14 different places and he had the opportunity to serve in this capacity. On two occasions, he went outside the country and he had the opportunity to serve in Tanzania. In Mitti Nagarpakar, he worked as Naib Nazir Waqf Jadid and he served in this capacity. Nowadays, he was based in Karachi. He was extremely happy, cheerful and jolly person, a person of great high moral standing. Whichever Jamaat he would go to, he would win over their hearts. He was very hospitable and compassionate to poor persons and he would remain in close contact with them. His prominent quality was this, that he was extremely steadfast and grateful. He had great forbearance. If he was caused suffering by anybody, he would respond to them with generosity and love and would never seek revenge. He had great love and affection towards Khilafat. In front of every commandment of the Khalifa, he would submit wholeheartedly and obey fully. And he always tried to make Jamaats also obey. The deceased had a wide range of contacts and friends. He was a very popular person in his vicinity. In all the Jamaats he had the opportunity to serve, they remember him in very good and kind words. From the Sindh Chandiyo tribe, he was the first Waqf-e Zindagi life devotee, and amongst the Sindhi missionaries, he was the third missionary. May Allah the Almighty go on elevating the rank of the deceased. The next mention is Mukarram Munir Ahmed Khan Sahib, son of Abdul Karim Khan Sahib of Karachi, who passed away on 7 November at the age of 74. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. He was the paternal grandson of Hazrat Maulvi Anwar Hussain Khan Sahib and also the maternal grandson of Hazrat Abdul Rahim Nir Sahib and also the nephew of Mukarram Yahi Khan Sahib, the private secretary of Hazrat Khalifatul Masih II. He was a very intelligent and capable engineer. At Jalsa Salana, he carried out different services, that is, Jalsa Salana in Rabwa. The first roti plant in Rabwa installed, he had the opportunity to give prominent services. He worked towards the translation of Jalsa Salana UK communication setup and offered his services to this effect. Regarding Noah's Ark, he researched in light of the Quran, the Bible, and also in light of different books. He had the opportunity to write a book about this, which could not yet been published. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabe, the fourth Khalifa, regarding his research in Noah's Ark, he mentioned this in his Darsul Quran and also in his question-answer sessions. He was an extremely sincere, loyal and devoted person and a person who took care of others and a very righteous person. He was also a Musi. His wife is Hazrat Khalifatul Masih IV, may Allah be pleased with him's cousin. In other words, he was the son-in-law of Sayyid Abdul Razak Shah Sahib. May Allah the Almighty elevate the rank of the deceased. May Allah the Almighty to show his mercy to him. All the people who I have mentioned, inshallah, after their Friday prayers, their funeral prayer in absentia will be offered.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'firuhu. ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.